Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us for today's program. We're going to talk with Chris Sees and Jackie Sempeck from Broomtree Retreat Center. They're going to tell us all about the wonderful things that go on there and kind of the why the things go on there as well. And if you're not familiar with Broomtree, please stick around. You'll learn a lot this morning about what they do down there and what opportunities there are for you as well. So we'll have that in just a bit. Gene Young will also have news in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday morning. Barb Buckmiller with the first and second reading, and Monsignor Charles Mangan with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders from which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Benedictine Multicultural Center, sponsored by Mother of God Monastery in Watertown, is celebrating 10 years of service to the greater Watertown community. Since the doors were opened in February 2008, over 36,800 people of all faiths and cultures have been welcomed and served by the Benedictine Multicultural Center and its staff. The services provided are education, immigration assistance, dental care assistance, multicultural resources, and pastoral care. The education offered is for English speakers who want to learn Spanish, English as a second language, and citizenship classes. Each summer, a youth program is offered for children ages 8 to 12. You can read and see more about the Benedictine Multicultural Center in the April edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, even before Catherine and Jeff Dobbs were married, they had a name picked out for a future son, Fulton Francis. Fulton for Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, known for his mid-20th century broadcast evangelism, and Francis for Pope Francis, whom the couple met at a general audience during their honeymoon in 2017. Little could they have known the significance of their baby's namesakes less than a year later. Fulton Francis Dobbs was born Christmas Eve with an immunodeficiency that remains undiagnosed. They have been praying for Fulton's healing through the intercession of Archbishop Sheen, who Pope Benedict XVI declared venerable in 2012. The next step in the sainthood process is beatification, which requires one miracle that is verified as having occurred through that person's intercession. After Fulton's birth, the Dobbs Parish, St. Charles Borromeo, and St. Anthony, Minnesota, distributed cards with a prayer written by Franciscan Father Andrew Apostoli, who was ordained by Archbishop Sheen and has worked on his canonization cause. Despite abortion having been part of the national debate for nearly a half century, it remains a complex and complicated issue to a significant majority of Americans, according to a survey released this week. 62% of Americans see abortion as a complicated issue, with 36% saying it is simple and straightforward, according to the survey. Young people set to impact the debate on women's health issues was the survey issued by the Public Religion Research Institute. Americans who say abortion should be either legal in all cases or illegal in all cases are more likely to say the issue is simple and straightforward than those who hold on to more qualified attitudes, with close to half of the absolutists declaring it simple and straightforward. By comparison, only about a quarter of those who believe abortion should be legal or illegal in most but not all cases say the issue is simple and straightforward. In the general population, attitudes have remained fairly stable over the last couple of decades, according to Robert P. Jones, the CEO of the company that put out the survey, in an phone interview this week with Catholic News Service. Even though we're seeing younger people being more supportive and older people being more opposed, all generations are seeing it as being a more complicated issue. The exception are people who are out on the polls at both ends of the spectrum, he said. When Katie Reedy decided it was time to follow her childhood dream and pursue a career in film, she never had Christian filmmaking in mind. But somehow, said Reedy, no matter where she has sent her resume these past 7 years, I still end up at a Catholic film company, which is a great thing. Reedy was working at a crisis pregnancy center and attending Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, when she decided to pull up stakes in 2011, move to Los Angeles, and try her hand in the film industry. To date, the biggest film Reedy has worked on is Paul the Apostle of Christ, which was released in theaters last month. She was the U.S. production coordinator on the project. Reedy said she has turned down several projects that would have landed her with very reputable companies or filmmakers. The story or parts of the script were completely out of line with my values and everything I've stood for in life that I had to say no to those other projects, she said. For her, working on Paul, Apostle of Christ, has truly been a gift. As a sign of solidarity with religious minorities who have been victims of Islamic State-led genocide, Archbishop Leonard P. Blair of Hartford, Connecticut, celebrated a special mass for persecuted Middle Eastern Christians this week at St. Mary Church in New Haven, Connecticut. He welcomed Bishop Bawe Soro, who heads the Chaldean Catholic Eparchy of Mar Adai of Toronto and is a native of Iraq. He delivered the homily and also proclaimed the gospel in Aramaic, the language spoken by Jesus. During the Mass, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Hartford and the Knights of Columbus, the two bishops encouraged the large gathering of the faithful to pray for Christians throughout the world who are under constant threat of losing their homelands and their very lives if they do not renounce Christ. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
A real issue there.
It is.
All right. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by the lovely ladies from Broomtree, Chris Sees and Jackie Sempec. We haven't talked about the activities and the work of Broomtree for quite some time on Catholic Views. And one day it just kind of hit me. It's like, it's time. We need to do that. So grateful to you, Chris, and to Jackie for joining us this morning.
Oh, we're happy to be with you, Jerry. Thank you for having us, Jerry.
You bet. I'm going to start with Chris. You've actually been there almost since the very beginning, haven't you?
Yes, that's true. I started in June of 2005.
So I think about what's happened in that dozen plus years that Broomtree has been open, and so many wonderful stories I'm sure you can tell, and maybe we'll get to that later, but I think where we start is, I know there's still people that don't know, when we say Broomtree, what exactly we mean and what it is. So let's start there for folks who aren't familiar with the place.
Sure. Well, Broomtree is an ecumenical retreat center that's open to people of all faiths that are just looking to experience God in a particular way. It's not just for Catholics. It's for anybody of Christian faith that's just looking for that deeper experience.
And it is a place where you provide some programming, but then also people can come in and use the facilities to do some of their own kind of programming, right?
Yes, that's correct. We do put on different retreats throughout the year, but then we have different groups that use the facilities for their own retreats. Avera in particular is a group that uses the facilities. They do programming every year from September through May, and they've been doing that since the beginning of when Broomtree opened.
And it's situated in this unbelievably beautiful spot, and it's a spot that I didn't know existed before Broomtree came to be. It's just to the west and south a little bit from Irene. Jackie, maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because I think you're actually pretty familiar with that location, aren't you, from a long time ago?
That's true. I grew up in Yankton, so but I didn't know that there was this farm out here being run kind of as a retreat center for, or place of sabbatical, really, for Protestant pastors. So prior to the diocese receiving the property, that's what it was used for. But just right near Lake Merindol and not too far from Yankton. I live about halfway between the two places, Yankton and Broomtree. So it's just a beautiful place to be. And it's surprising to see the, this kind of sanctuary in the middle of farmland. It's a real gift.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the origin, if you will, of Broomtree. The name was actually inherited because of the previous work. And if people are familiar with the scripture that comes from, it's they rested under the broom tree is the quote, I think. And so appropriate that was the name of this place at the beginning.
Right. I think it was wise of Bishop Carlson to just continue with the gift that had already been given by God to have this place be available for anybody who wanted to come on retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. So describe, Chris, if you would, because there's two sides to this place. And again, if people are unfamiliar, they might not realize that there's different kinds of opportunities on either side of the road, if you will.
Right. We have the retreat center, which is pretty much strictly the spiritual retreats that Broomtree puts on, and then, of course, available to other groups for that purpose. So we do a pretty wide range of things. We're known around the country for silent retreats, but we also have retreats for couples. We have what we call the Days of Recollection most of the months of the year. We have inner healing retreats here. There's really a retreat for just about anybody at the retreat center.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the road would be the youth and family camp. And it's just amazing how that has grown over the years. And that opened in 2006 and then fully completed in 2007 with the swimming pool. And any family that wants to come and stay can come and stay. And we have, I don't know how many youth camps we have now during the summer. I think it's 6 or 7. There's one Protestant camp that comes every year, plus a bunch of different Catholic camps, including our own diocesan discipleship camps. As far as booking during the summer, and people are surprised when they call, and I tell them, well, we book over 2 years out, so they're surprised by that. But that is how high in demand the facilities are there. And it's open year-round. The cabins that we have are so nice. They're heated and air-conditioned. They have a full kitchen. So you could come stay any time of the year, even if it's just on your own personal retreat. And then, of course, the grounds over there are just so beautiful, mm-hmm. with the outdoor Stations of the Cross. And just an incredible gift. Like, people are so surprised by it. And then when they discover it, it's like this little jewel that they hope to kind of keep to themselves so that they can keep coming back.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me the times that I have been down there. Even in the midst of a big crowd, if you have an event going on, even in the midst of a big crowd, It is a place of silence, isn't it? There's something about it. It's the setting. It's the way it's set up. It's a special place in that sense of really hearing God in the quiet.
Yeah, I think that's very true. There's just so many people that say when you drive up, you just have this sense of God's presence here. And it's just, that's how it began. That's how Broomtree began, with Archbishop Carlson's vision and how it was set up and the way the retreats were set up. And then, of course, Bishop Swain gave us our mission, which was to provide that environment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do every day here, and the staff are really faithful to that. And so just living in that daily, even when it is a group that's not silent, you can still find that peace here at Broomtree. You can really feel God's presence.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jackie, am I right that you end up doing a lot with the program side of this, working on some of that stuff?
A lot of the things that I do are behind the scenes. I take care of the chapels, and I also, and a lot of people don't know this, but we have a bookstore here in our retreat center. Mm-hmm. That's open anytime that the retreat center is open, anytime we have a retreat. So it's not just for our retreatants. We have people that stop in regularly to use it. And it's kind of a gift, you know, to the diocese to have a place where you can always come and know that you can find good books or Catholic items, you know, that you would need for maybe a confirmation or First Communion. So that's something I really focus on, and just providing and trying to maintain that environment, that sacred environment, in all of our spaces. So depending on what it's being used for. So here at the retreat center, just making sure that's a beautiful place for people to settle and, you know, just experience God in the silence. And then, you know, we have spaces down at what we call Lower Broomtree, like when you first drive in. So for people that are staying for a little longer, I'm just making sure that we've, you know, have a spirit of hospitality in those facilities. And then over at the camp, just keeping it, you know, fun for the kids. So I'm always looking for, you know, things for the pool and different things to keep the cabins nice too. So those are the things that I focus on.
You mentioned, Chris, I think you mentioned the Days of Recollection. I've been impressed at certainly some of the titles that come up, but maybe even more so the variety of priests and others from our diocese and beyond our diocese that help out with those. How does that happen? Is that Father Vogel, Father Joe Vogel, who also is involved, or is it you? Or
I do it.
Okay.
And it's just over the years we've just developed relationships. We're always looking for, you know, others with the same heart that we have here at Broomtree that support the mission. And so, yeah, those Days of Recollection are just really wonderful because it gives people just a short time if they can't come for a weekend to just come and experience whatever it is that God's desiring to give them. And honestly, we let our directors pick the topics. So that's coming from those priests. And we have some laity, too, that are directors, some women directors. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from them. And, you know, they look at the liturgical calendar and they look at what's happening in the world. And it's just really the Holy Spirit leading them because, like you said, it's just a wide variety of topics that can speak to anybody.
It's such an oasis of a sort in the midst of the craziness of our world that you can come and do that just even for a day, because people are busy, we know that. And even for a day, if they can't do the full longer silent retreat, something like that's got to help.
It's really true. I think the one day silent retreats, kind of the ones that we have on a weekend, kind of give people an opportunity just to experience what it might be like to spend an entire day in silence. We've just in the last couple of years started offering the one day silent retreat, mm-hmm, on a Saturday. And that's been a really great gift. I think some people feel maybe a little nervous about spending 4 days in silence if they've never tried that before, or maybe they don't know what to do during that time of prayer, or what that might look like. So we just kind of have a little guided day. It's been well attended and a real gift for all those involved.
So something that that our listeners might not realize too is that beyond the regular silent retreats for men and silent retreats for women, there are extended silent retreats. I think these are most often in the summertime and many times involve seminarians. 30-day silent retreats. I can only imagine for staff what that's like to experience those that are involved in that process.
The 30 days is incredible, and we've been doing a 30 day since I think 2006. Mm-hmm. I don't think we had one the first year, but so it is seminarians mostly, some priests, and then religious typically that do the 30 days. So, I mean, you're talking about people that are discerning their vocation typically, or just for the priests, you know, whatever the reason might be that they come, but. What a gift. Like, we love the 30-day, and we have two a year. So one that starts kind of in the middle of May and ends in the middle of June, and then one starts at the end of June and ends at the end of July. And just beautiful experiences when you see them coming in and they don't know what to expect. And then at the end, the joy in them is just incredible. We have a barbecue at the end for them so they can just let loose and relax, and they play games, and it is absolutely incredible just to witness their experiences. I don't know, Jackie. I find it so fascinating how we can spend 30 days with the people that are here on silent retreat and not have spoken to them generally at all throughout that entire 30 days, and then, but at the end, we feel as though we've known them because we've been praying with them, praying for them for the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this beautiful just sense of relationship that has grown just in the silence all by itself. God is so good in that way. And especially at the end, you know, to give us the opportunity to experience their joy with them as they go back to their lives. So it's a real gift.
One of you used the word discernment, and I think it's a word we use often as we talk about vocations, of course, but in a sense of discernment can apply to any of us at any stage of our life, trying to listen to what the Lord is asking of us in a particular situation or just in general. And it seems to me that what Broomtree offers is a real way to do that at all kinds of levels that we've already talked about. 1 day, 3 day or 4 day silent retreats, 30-day silent retreats. But Broomtree can help people in that discernment process. Am I thinking about that right?
I think that's really true, Jerry. You're right that no matter where you're at in your life, you're always wanting to grow in an awareness of God's will for you. And we can know God's will when we spend time with Him in silence. And we can experience His love for us much better when we've taken the time to kind of go away with Him and spend time with Him in a more intentional way. It's for everyone, and we are all growing in that discernment of spirits, and it's a gift to have a place like Broomtree that is equipped to teach and to also provide the environment at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it's not just our own diocese that benefits, especially when we're talking about these 30-day retreats and the seminarians. They're coming from all over, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. They're from all over the country. So the first 30-day would be St. John Vianney from Denver and St. Charles Borromeo from Philadelphia. And then the next 30-day would be Sacred Heart Major Seminary from Detroit,
And we have Diocese of Orlando. We have Diocese of St. Louis, Diocese of Sioux Falls, praise be to God. We have coming from there as well. So just all over the country. So I know Mark Kazemius was just saying, you know, people around here, you say Broomtree, and they're like, oh, what's that? He said, I'll fly somewhere, and somebody, I'll say I'm from the Diocese of Sioux Falls, and somebody will say, oh, yeah, Broomtree. So, I mean, we are pretty widely known for the Ignatian silent retreats for the seminarians and the priests.
That's really great. And I know great relationships, too, with those that then provide those retreats, because I know you and as good as you and Jackie are, Chris, that's not what you're doing.
No, definitely not. We have such an amazing group of priests and within our own diocese mm-hmm. that are just have that gift for directing these young men, especially, but also just in giving retreats and just the support that they give Broomtree. So yeah, we're definitely blessed in this diocese. And we do have priests from other dioceses as well that come in to give these longer retreats. And we have relationships with them, and they've been very good and supportive of Broomtree and what we do here.
Well,
I was thinking too, Chris, of the focus, the fellowship of Catholic college students and how they've chosen to use Broomtree for so many of their boot camps and different spiritual retreats that they have. It's a great thing to see the college students here too.
In any of our parishes that experience Totus Tuus, the training for that happens at Broomtree. You mentioned discipleship camps. There's just so much that happens down at Broomtree. So grateful for all of the work. If you want to know more about anything we've talked about this morning or about the schedule coming up, because we actually didn't even get to that, about kind of what is on the docket for the months to come, go to the website. It's broom-tree.org, broom-tree.org. And it's a lovely site. It has all of the information on there that you'd ever want to know about Broomtree. Ladies, Jackie Sempeck and Chris Sees, thank you so much. Great conversation. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gina, it's fun to hear from Chris and Jackie this morning. We didn't get into the detail of actual scheduled events, but
they are longtime clients of the Bishop's Bulletin. They're always advertising their events.
Yeah, so you can find it there. You can also go to their website, broom-tree.org, and find all of the different events that are going on at Broomtree. Great place. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back with you next Sunday morning.